Salam alaikum. Shukran. Kalas. Habibi. Fatouche. I've been in the UAE about 4.5 years, and believe it or not, this is about the only Arabic I know. Now, to help me understand why it's so difficult to pick up Arabic in the UAE, we're joined by Anna Zacharias, a former journalist at The National, who left to study Arabic in Oman about 1.5 years ago. This is Crossroads, a podcast from The National newspaper in Abu Dhabi. I'm John Dennehy, and this is a special episode to mark UN Arabic Language Day on December 18th. Okay, Anna, you came to the UAE in the 90s, and you spent about 2 decades in the Gulf before you took the decision to finally go and learn Arabic proper. So what made you take that decision? Why did you finally bite the bullet and decide to go and learn Arabic?
When I came, I was 13, and I was told by my school I was too old to learn Arabic, so I didn't. I learned, of course, some words and phrases from friends, but I didn't focus on it a lot because since that time, the plan has always been to stay in the Gulf 1 or 2 years. And every year I say, oh, next year is my last year. And here I am. So I think a lot of expats are like this. It's just a wonderful place. And I think I reached a point where I said, well, I'm going to be here a while. And it's probably time for me to learn Arabic formally, because I think, as you know, I picked up what they call Gulf Pidgin Arabic, or what more people know as Taxi Arabic. So it's not that I couldn't communicate with people, but I think I reached a point where I wanted to be able to engage in more formal Arabic, like to be able to watch the media and to understand some poetry. And to talk to people on, I don't want to say a deeper level, because you can actually have some fantastic conversations with Pidgin, but just to talk to more people, I guess.
On that point, like in the piece, you've also written a piece for us in the paper this week to mark UN World Arabic Day, right? So you describe picking up this Pidgin Arabic, or as you call it as well, Taxi Arabic. What exactly is Taxi Pidgin Arabic?
Well, it depends who you ask. For those of us who speak it, we just say it's Arabic. And if you ask an Arab, of course, they'll say this is absolutely not Arabic. But it does have set forms and patterns. So it's got loan words from a lot of languages and really bare-bone grammar that just uses the imperative for most verb conjugations. This until now is a problem for me. Certain words I still always conjugate in the imperative. So I would say, I go shop. you go shop. Instead of saying, I'm going to the shop. And it is actually, it's quite formal. I mean, sorry, it's not formal, but it is using the same patterns time and again. It's not just different people speaking it in different ways. So this is the language that's spoken by the working class.
Okay.
Maids, shopkeepers, taxi drivers. And those are the people who were talking to me the most. So that's what I picked up.
So it's almost like, this is almost like a conversational Arabic. Could you describe it like that?
Yes, it's entirely conversational. I think if you were writing it, you would just write it in Latin. A lot of the people who speak it wouldn't read Arabic script. Maybe they would read Urdu, a script, I suppose. And it's just conversational as the easiest way and the clearest way to communicate. But you can still communicate great ideas, even though to somebody accustomed to Arabic, it would sound broken and maybe non-intelligible to a lot of people.
This Taxi Pidgin Arabic that you picked up in the UAE, the sort of conversational Arabic, when you went to study in Oman, is that sort of way of communicating in Arabic, is it frowned upon? Is it looked down upon? Or is it just a sort of an accepted a part of things?
Yes, most Arabs do not like Pidgin Arabic, which is understandable because Arabic is a very beautiful language, and it has a beautiful logic and rationale as well as vocabulary and style. But alhamdulillah, Omanis are very, very patient, and Omanis and my teachers were very patient with me. It is confusing for people, of course. They don't expect a Westerner to be speaking pidgin, so sometimes it throws people for a loop, and they might ask, I've been asked if I'm Filipina or Irani or, but they were very patient. But in general, it's quite disdained, which I think is a shame, because, you know, the reason people speak in pidgin is because that's the way they're spoken to. So if you want people to speak Arabic more formally, then you can just speak Arabic more formally with them. And also, pidgin is wonderful because it allows people to communicate very quickly. You can pick it up so fast, and you can communicate with just such a huge range of people. It's more widely spoken in the UAE than Oman. So I think people find it more strange here.
Okay.
But my teachers were very patient. Alhamdulillah.
Interesting. Okay, so about a year and a half, so you were working here at the National about a year and a half ago, and then you decided to move to Oman to learn Arabic. So I suppose, A, why did you choose to go to Oman? And B, is it difficult to learn the language in the UAE?
Okay, well, Oman made sense for me because my life is in the Gulf. So for me, I want to be in a place, I'd be delighted to speak any Arabic, but being in a place where I could learn Gulf Arabic and just makes a lot of sense. And being in a place also where I picked up, of course, a lot of Emirati words and phrases and things. And in Oman, they use a lot of them, and at the very least, they understand them. I think if I had gone to the Sham or Egypt, people would have been like, what is she talking about? What is this word? This has been very wonderful. Of course, Oman is also a fantastic place. For me, the mountains and the sea are, I will say, a big part of my life. And in Muscat, I can be between both of these places. I live on the beach, and the mountains are right here too. So I think language obviously was the priority, but getting to be outside is also a big priority in my life. And Vivian, who was at the National too, of course, she came to Oman and just had great things to say about it. So I was a bit lazy, and I said, if it's so highly recommended by Vivian, I knew it would be a good move. And it has been. It's been really wonderful. And sorry, what was the second part of that?
Okay, the second part was, is it very difficult to learn Arabic in the UAE?
I think you have to be determined. I picked up pidgin quite easily because for many years I wasn't driving.
A year and a half on, how good is your Arabic? Are you fluent?
Wallahi, you know, I studied Swedish. I lived in Sweden briefly after high school. And I think in 4 months I could speak more Swedish than I did after 9 months of Arabic, and already a base.
Well, this is a
good... One of the first things girl said, what's that?
No, sorry, go on.
One of the first things a girl said to me, and she is fluent in classical Arabic and Yemeni Arabic, and she said, Arabic's hard at every level. And this was right after I got here, and I went, yeah, okay. But it's really not a language for somebody without... I think a level of self-confidence, because I think the further you go in Arabic, the more you're like, oh, I really don't speak this at all. I think I was more confident in my language when I spoke much less and I was brand new here. I thought, oh, I can talk to everyone already in pidgin. And then now if you ask me, I'd say, oh, I know nothing. Yani,
On that point, okay. So just on that. Tragically, I've been here in the UAE for 4.5 years, and I still don't know any Arabic whatsoever. So what would be like the tips for someone as bad as me to try and pick up some Arabic?
I know this sounds cheesy. It's not you, it's Arabic. And I think it's especially Arabic teachers. The UAE could be a great place to learn Arabic, but I occasionally would try and register in a class, and it was so boring, and they just want to focus on the alphabet and the teachers. They might know Arabic really well, but a lot of the teachers in the UAE are not great at teaching. And you know, you can have the greatest engineer in the world, and if he doesn't know how to teach, he's still going to be rubbish at teaching engineering. So I think the UAE needs to work more if they're worried about their language, and I don't think they have to be, but it would be great to see more people teaching Arabic in a fun way. And also, it's very easy to pick up what they call a dialect, but I call Arabic people actually speak. It's very easy to pick up conversational Arabic. I struggled at the beginning because they teach it in such a formulaic way that you can't learn, I think I mentioned this, you can't learn move to the next step until you've mastered the first. Well, all my life I've been sort of a B+ student. And I will be B+ at any level you put me in, but I will never be, as they say in Oman, mitain, 200% or perfect. I will always do a fairly good job at my current level, if that makes any sense. So I think a lot of people, they register. I know many people who have tried, and I think they say sometimes the blame is put on people for being lazy and not making an effort. But also you have to make it accessible and you have to make it fun. There's lots of people to practice Arabic with in the UAE. But at a certain point, you need classes to help you along. I mean, being chatty helps.
So what is the response that your Arab friends have to you trying to speak Arabic to them or learn from them? What have they got to say about it?
They are so wonderful and so encouraging, and they are so patient. And now, I will say, perhaps the exception of my Lebanese friends.
Why is that?
But I think their accent is very different, and they just laugh at me. my Emirati and Sudanese and Syrian friends and many of my Arab friends, now when we meet, they will be very patient and speak to me in Arabic, even though obviously it's easier for us to converse in English. They're so encouraging. They're wonderful. And it's great talking to them because a lot of them may not be from the Gulf, but a lot of them have been raised in the Gulf. So they can go back and forth if I use something from one country or a different, then they will, you know, encourage that. I think another difficult challenge for Arabic language learners is they often say, oh, no, that's not right. You should say it this way. And then you say it this way and they say, that's not right. You should say it that way. And it's like, you'll never make everyone happy. But my friends in the Gulf, because there's so many people from all over, people are very accepting with the different dialects. This is the case everywhere. No.
For someone who comes here and wants to learn Arabic, what advice could you give?
I know there are a couple of good schools. I think you would just have to try and find a fun teacher and not worry. I know a lot of people will hate this advice, but I would say don't worry about the alphabet and don't worry about mistakes and just go for it. And you have to be a little bit stubborn. but I think if you, you know, get your shawarma in the evening and you can talk to the people there, the most of the Arabic I spoke in Abu Dhabi was at the shawarma stand.
So that's
in
where
Abu Dhabi it is a little bit.
So I should go. So for someone like me, I should head to the local shawarma stand and try and pick up a few words there.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I don't think I have great advice. But I would just talk to people. And also, maybe this is way out there, but maybe people can learn Arabic from Pakistani people like I did. And at least this will give you a big vocabulary, and then you can fill in the blanks later. And maybe it's easier. I don't know. I think a lot of people would hate that advice, but it would sure be a faster and easier way to learn. And the taxi drivers were great because they would never say, "Oh, you're doing it wrong." They would always just be like, "Mumtaz." I think just to not be afraid. That's not great advice. Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I gave up, obviously,
I think
to
it's
a
a
man.
no, I think a lot of expats, obviously are here for, I think the average stay in the UAE is about 2 years. I mean, a lot of expats stay a lot longer than that. So I think a lot of people also are interested in learning some Arabic. So people are also interested in ways to try and pick up even just a few words. So if that means, speaking to a cab driver for a little bit and picking up some words, and that could be a good place to start.
Yes, absolutely. If you just have people in your neighborhood who are very open. In the Northern Emirates, it's maybe easier because I think Arabic is the main language there anyways, and they also have more majlises.
So it's more accessible.
So it's much more accessible.
Right, okay.
It is work in Abu Dhabi. To find, I struggled when I moved to Abu Dhabi. I had a panic moment that I would forget any Arabic I had. But eventually it's there, but you do have to look for it. It won't happen accidentally, but it's so worth it. I'm so glad I stuck at it.
So, just to go back to the school in Oman, could you just describe for us like a typical day learning Arabic at the school in Oman?
Sure. Initially, I was in classes at the school full time. And we would do 4 hours a day, 1 hour for grammar, 1 hour for literature or reading, 1 hour for media, and 1 hour for conversation. And then what my school does, which I really have loved, is they do 2 hours a number of days a week with a conversation partner, where you'll be maybe two students or just yourself with an Omani, usually a student from the university. And you can do whatever you want in that time, and you can focus on grammar if you want, but you can also just hang out and go to the beach and sit and chat. Or example, the other day I went with she was formerly my PF, and we went to a horse riding show. And this is really wonderful, and it's also a great way. A lot of the students, it's might be their first time in the Middle East, so it's also a really great introduction to the culture here. But even for somebody like myself who's been here a long time, it's just a great way to spend time getting to know people, and you can focus more at that time on dialect, which is much easier to learn. And actually, you asked me my advice for people looking to learn. I would say focus on a dialect because you can pick them up much more quickly. And that way you'll be able to speak to people. I guess that would be my advice. Now I'm for because I've been here more than a year, now I do private classes, and usually we'll do an article, like an opinion piece from Sharq Al-Awsat or one of the big papers, and we go through that together because I'm focused a little bit more on media and trying to get to a higher level of expression now that the basics are sort of in place.
You mentioned there you focused on dialect. How did you choose which Arabic dialect to learn?
To be frank, I would be delighted to speak any dialect. A lot of people have very strong views about this is the one that's closest to the classical Arabic, and everybody, or a lot of people, seem to think their own is the one that is closest to the classical, or that one is better than the other. For me, language is simply communication, and I'd be delighted to be speaking anything.
But
If I understood, understood.
did you struggle with the different dialects Arabs speak?
There's a lot of people I can't understand, of course. People tell me I'm Khaliji in the way I speak, but I don't know if I'm even proficient enough to be considered to have a dialect. But I think I use a lot of my speech is slang, and very colloquial expressions. So, I really enjoy this. What I enjoy so much about Arabic is the back and forth and the banter. And Arabic is lovely for this. And this is something a lot of classes sadly don't focus on. And certainly a lot of textbooks don't focus on this. And so for me, being in the Gulf, it makes more sense to learn more Gulf expressions. But I think it's all wonderful.
That's one of the issues that you raise in the piece, though, isn't it? You speak about the way it's taught, and this is something you've touched on earlier, the way it's taught in the classrooms. And it's, you say currently it's very grammar intensive, and students learn what's known as the modern standard Arabic, which isn't really the spoken form. I mean, do you get the sense that's changing at all in terms of how it's taught?
I've heard... at my school, of course, I meet a lot of students who have studied in other places. My experience is obviously more limited, but I've heard there are places where this is changing. I would like to see it change more quickly. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, English is my mother tongue, but from what I understand, you don't sit down when somebody's learning English and give them hours and hours and hours of classes on all the different pieces of grammar and say, this is this preposition, and here are all the ways you can use this preposition. This would be very exhausting for the brain. And I think when language is taught that way, you give up very quickly. Arabic's the first language I've ever studied where it's so grammar intensive. And there are reasons for that. Arabic's got a very beautiful and mathematical structure, but also so much grammar you can learn intuitively just by reading. And it's very hard to get fun, or at least in my experience, I've had a hard time finding fun resources at a low level of Arabic. I know they're out there. I know they're trying to build this up, but I'd just like to see more of that. And I'd like it to be easier to access.
Most of my friends are like pretty Western expats. So we don't really speak Arabic, or we don't really interact with people who speak Arabic. But any time that I have gone to Ras Al Khaimar or the Northern Emirates, it does feel like things are a bit more accessible, and there might be more opportunities to speak Arabic there. So maybe part of the problem is me and who and how I'm handling myself in Abu Dhabi.
I don't think it's you. I think if you lived in Germany, you'd be speaking German.
Yeah.
My friends were largely Arab, and I still wasn't speaking it with them ever.
Well, the thing is, all the Emiratis that I know and all the Arabs that I know can speak perfect English plus Arabic, whereas I can't speak any Arabic. So,
well, even I go to the restaurant here, and yeah. I'll hear Arabs amongst each other talking in English. And I was, I don't think it's you. I think it's like, even if you had good initiative at the early levels, there's just not the material, and there are not as many Arabic teachers who are good at Arabic. And another thing that I didn't mention, but a lot of the early materials in Arabic are really didactic. They're like, a lot of them are focused for, like, they're teaching a lesson about behavior. And so, like, we had to watch this video in class that was about, it was one of the only videos our teacher could find that was at our level of Arabic. This was like in my first or second week. And in the video, the man comes in and he has a birthday cake, and all his family are about to start eating the cake. And the little girl says, "You didn't say alhamdulillah, like you didn't give thanks for the food." And she wags her finger at them, and then they all say, "Oh, how did we not say alhamdulillah? This is such a boring video." Like, so much material is like that. It's not interesting. Even if people have a great interest in the language, you need to engage them in the material.
Is it possible for someone who's got no knowledge, no taxi Arabic or pidgin Arabic, or no knowledge at all, really, bar a few words like kalas or shukran, is it possible to do a course like you're taking and, you know, a year and a half on, have a good knowledge?
I think it depends on the course. I think you would have a good knowledge, but Arabic is, I don't know, it's deeper. So say what would be a good knowledge in English, you'd be at the bottom of the pool, but in Arabic, you'd still be halfway to sink to the bottom. Maybe that's a terrible analogy. but I think if they taught more Amiya, and this is not a popular opinion, but I think if they taught more dialect or local language, then people in 6 months would be able to have fantastic conversations. And now, for example, at my school, I can see students who have been here 4 months and their ears are picking it up and things, and they're talking, but not at a level that they could be, I think, if there was less focus on grammar, and specifically grammar that's used in formal Arabic that you will never use in daily life. Like, there's a way to negate things that is used all the time in the media, and you never, ever, ever use it in your daily life. When you're learning a language, there's so much to concentrate on. I don't know why you need to be focused on these details right off the bat. So I think that you could, but if you want a good teacher.
So basically, we need to get out of our apartments and into the taxis, into the souks, and down to the shawarma stands.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Awesome. Anna, we will leave it there. Thank you very much. To read Anna's story on learning Arabic in Oman, visit thenational.ie. There you can also sign up for our weekly review newsletter, which brings more podcasts, long form, and essential stories from the Middle East to your inbox. Thank you for listening.